Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're so thankful for these opportunities we have to worship God in spirit and truth. We're thankful for Brother Terry for those songs and Brother Roy for that prayer. And certainly we're always thankful for those men that serve in those capacities. There's certainly many of our brothers and sisters in Christ that need our prayers. So I definitely would echo what John just said a few minutes ago. Definitely we need to remember many individuals in our prayers throughout the week. I'm just telling you that I like Thanksgiving a lot, so my mind's on food. Probably be on food for the next couple of weeks. It's one of my favorite times. It's one of my favorite holidays for what that's worth. I've always liked that time. And my wife always tries to steal it because she's already got the tree up. Yeah, she plays that game, the early tree. So, but I've always liked Thanksgiving. I always liked this time. And thinking about food and reflecting on food, there's a question that many times pops up. You know, where do you want to eat? I'm very blessed that my wife loves to cook, and she cooks. So if she ever says I don't want to cook, I'm like, okay, because she cooks so much, and I'm so blessed in that respect. So. If she wants to go out and eat, that's something that I try to do with her from time to time. But I kind of dread that question, where do you want to eat? Because when I ask my wife, it usually is not really what I want, you know. So she'll be like, well, what do you want? And I'll start, and it becomes a guessing game, right? I throw out, well, I'd like here. And she's like, no. And then I'll throw out another one, no. And, you know, I'm ashamed to say that probably that question has monopolized a lot of my time to time trying to figure out where we're going to eat. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you consider when you come to that question, where do you want to eat? You know, you consider cost, you know, you consider the time. You also consider, you know, the different options that you have. And what I want to do this morning is parallel this question with a question that is many times asked in our religious world. Where do you want to go to get spiritual food? You know, I mean, physical food, certainly we ask this question, hey, where do you want to go eat? And a lot of times, I think in the spiritual world, this question, rightly or wrongly, has crept into the spiritual world where people say, where do you want to get spiritual food? Or, where do you want to go to church? I'd like to look at it this way, trying to parallel this question with physical food. When we consider physical restaurants, as we consider places that we might consider getting our spiritual food. So what are areas that we consider when we ask this question? I think one of the areas that many of us consider is cost, don't we? Is we consider the cost. And where do you want to eat? Well, you know, there's a lot of places out there, and we start rattling through, and it's like, okay, well, what do we feel like spending today? I mean, you could go to Red Lobster, or you could just go to McDonald's. You know, you could get a hot and ready from Little Caesars. You know. So cost is sometimes something that people consider, and I think people consider it in religion as well, is when they start to look at where I'm going to get my spiritual food, where am I going to go to church, they consider the cost. Is it a high cost or a low cost? People make decisions based off cost. What's interesting is the Bible, when it talks about the church, when it talks about Christ's church, realize it was purchased itself by a high price, but when you think about what the Bible is asking of you as a servant, what is the cost? In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, it says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Certainly when we look at church, when we look at this idea of consuming spiritual food, I don't think the Bible gives us a lot of idea on it. I think the Bible leads us and points us to this idea, if you want to live the Christian life, if you want to consume spiritual food, if you want to be a member of Christ's church, it will be a high cost. And I think many times people take that into consideration when they ask the question, where do we want to go to church? Well, how much is the cost going to be of me? The Bible tells us that it's basically ourselves. I mean, ourselves and all pieces, our heart, our soul, our mind. And people make decisions based off that. You know, you probably, maybe you fall in this situation at some point, you know. Sometimes people eat based off the price tag. They go down through the menu and they're like, I'm not that hungry, you know. I'm not quite that hungry. I don't know if I want to pay that. I mean, I'm hungry. I want steak. But I don't know if I want that price steak. You know, people make judgments off cost. And in the religious world, people are making judgments off cost as well. And I think it's good for us to at least reflect and consider that. If there is a cost when it comes to our consumption of spiritual food, are you willing to pay the cost? Are you willing to pay the cost to be associated with Christ and His church? Many assault the cost when it comes to religion. We don't have to turn far from ourselves many times or our brothers and sisters in Christ until we see the high, high cost that many have paid to partake of the spiritual food and to be associated with Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 10, verses 34 and 36, it says, "Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household." A high, high cost. And it's a cost that many won't pay. So many people will avoid the church of Christ. They'll avoid the church of God. They'll avoid it because they know there's a high cost associated with getting your spiritual food from the Bible, from the Lord's church. You know, really, I don't think the comparison is going to flow through the lesson, but in many ways, the comparison falls so short in this area. But sometimes people do order at a restaurant, they order out someplace, and they get the bill, and they look at the bill, and they almost cringe for a moment. And you know what? When people start counting up the cost, when they start looking at what the Bible says about our commitment, when it talks about how we should serve, when it comes to our time, when it comes to the quality that God is looking for, us, our involvement, many people cringe and look at that high cost. But see, when you talk about cost, I think we would be amiss if we didn't really talk about what cost is really directly tied to. Because if you just associate with cost, you're like, well, why would somebody pay such a high cost to be involved with Jesus? Why would somebody pay such a high cost? Well, because cost is normally associated with quality, is it not? Is when we pay a high cost, we associate that with good quality. When we pay a low cost, we understand that we're kind of making an exchange there for a low quality. A lot of people in the world, when they make their selections of church, when they make their selection of who they want to be involved with, they make the association that, I want something that's low cost. So what do they get by default? They get low quality. We have to understand that when we are making a selection in this life, that the selection that we're making and the selection that the Bible paints out is one of high cost. But it also comes with high quality. Are you willing to pay the high cost for the quality? Are you willing to go through those high costs so you can have the best spiritual food? You know, a lot of times when people go to restaurants, you know that you go to certain restaurants for certain things. Right? You go to certain restaurants, like if you want to go to a Mexican restaurant, typically you're going to order Mexican probably. Now they have some other things on the menu, but if you go there, probably what are you after? You're after some good Mexican food. Or if you go to a Chinese restaurant, you're after that Chinese food. Where are you after your spiritual food? Are you going to the Bible? Are you going to Jesus? Or are you going to some other low quality option? I'm not saying that it doesn't have things that are similar. But really what people do is they will exchange and they'll make this exchange. They say, I don't want the high cost and the quality. I want to take the low cost and less quality. And what they do is they run away from Jesus. They run away from His menu. Well, what's Jesus' menu? It's the inspired Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it gives a big long list, but it says that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The menu has been set for the Lord. He has said it, He has told you what the best quality food is, spiritually, but people avoid it. Why? They avoid it many times because of the cost. They don't want to pay the cost with associated with consuming the spiritual food, to have access to that spiritual food. The spiritual food that I'll remind you, that is what is best for us. When you look at what the Bible teaches, it's really trying to lead us in the best ways of life. It's trying to lead us to be a more peaceful people. It's trying to lead us to a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of thankfulness, a life of love, a good life. But people avoid it. They don't want Jesus' offers on His menu. And you don't have to look too far to find this, because all you have to do is really, I'd say there's one restaurant out there that's serving really good, the best spiritual food, and that is the Lord's Church, the one that's purchased by Jesus, His Word, That's where we get that good spiritual food. But yet, we look out, and how many options do we have in the religious world? Option after option after option. Question, are they all the same quality? Do they all have the same cost associated with them? And I think that we would answer and we would understand that not. So what's happening is there's all these options out there. Somebody has to be deluded. Someone is offering some frozen spiritual food. Right? We know that when we go out and eat some places, there's some places it's frozen. We know it's not as fresh as some other places. There's stuff that's frozen. There's stuff that's microwaved. There's stuff that's been diluted and degraded. Jesus offers only the best. He offers quality, but certainly it comes at a high price. And a lot of people will make that exchange throughout their lives, is they'll look at high cost and low cost, and they'll say, which one do I want to pay? And many people say, I'm going for the low cost. But with low cost, they sacrifice the quality of the spiritual food which they are partaking of. Are you going to follow God's recommendation or the recommendation of the world? You know, many times people, when they go out to eat, they'll take a recommendation from somebody else. They'll say, hey, I've been to this place. It's a great quality. It's really good food. It's good. Will you take the recommendation of Jesus or will you take the recommendation of the world? Because the world's going to give you all kinds of recommendations when it comes to where do you want to go to church? What kind of spiritual food do you want? There are all kinds of options. Just like when we go out to the physical world, we start looking at the restaurants that are out there. There's all kinds of options at all different qualities. Some are low cost, some are high cost. Are you going to take the recommendation of Jesus or take the recommendation of the world? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, talking about false teachers there, it says, for when they speak their great flowing words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. There's a lot of people out there trying to sell a good quality spiritual food. They say, come here, we have good spiritual food here. It's high quality, but it's low cost. Yeah, you can consume some of it. It's a diluted version. It's a frozen version. It's not fresh from the Word. It's been diluted down to what you can stomach because it's low cost. Because many times, a lot of what Christ says about living the Christian life is ignored. It's not preached anymore. It's not popular. People like low-cost religion. You don't think people don't like low-cost religion? Low-cost Christianity? Look around. Why are there so many options? Because it's been diluted down. What do you want? How much do you want to be committed? How much do you want to be involved? How much do you want to study your Bible? How much do you want to live the Christian life? You want to be persecuted or not persecuted? All those choices are out there. You can be a Christian and take the slice of religion that's not persecuted. All you have to do is never speak up about Christ. All you have to do is never tell anybody that you're a Christian or believe anything that the Bible teaches. Low-cost religion. And many people are making that exchange. In fact, people are making their own religions, aren't they? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fable. There's a lot of people out there that are going for exactly what they want. And what they want is not high cost and quality. What they want is low cost, no quality at all. No quality assurance. No check. See, when I look at this question, I think about it from a spiritual, I want quality spiritual food. And you know what? If you ask somebody and you say, hey, would you want high quality spiritual food? You know what they're probably going to say? Yes, I want high quality spiritual food. Well, high quality spiritual food, you know what it comes with? It comes with a cost. And many people are not willing to pay the cost. They try to get out coupons. They try to get out coupons. They try to get out. How can I get around this? How can I live the Christian life and not be persecuted? How can I live the Christian life and not have to study? How can I live the Christian life and get out of all the aspects of Christianity, but just keep the peace that I want? A lot of times when people are looking for spiritual food, they are looking for a low cost, and by default, it's a low quality option. Number two, where do you want to eat? Where do you want to get your spiritual food? Where do you want to go to church? You know, another thing that people consider is time, right? People live busy lives. I have two brothers and a sister. Now, my sister, she's in high school. She's a junior. And then my brothers are just a few years away from me on either side. And all my brothers were majorly involved in sports. And there was a period in our lives that was like nonstop. And a lot of times when it came to food, it was the fast option. That's what it was. It was fast. It was convenient. It was the drive-through fast food. And you know what? I think our society has come accustomed to convenience and fast. They like the microwave. They like out of the box. They like the drive-through. But you know what you sacrifice typically with time? It's health. Typically, you know. I mean, McDonald's or cook it at home. Probably at home, it's going to take more time, but probably going to be healthier. McDonald's probably not as healthy. You know, that's usually the compromise. So you can get your food really fast, and it's not going to be the healthiest. Or you can kind of put a little bit more time into it, and it'll be a little bit healthier. Same thing with religion. Same thing with Christianity. Same thing with living our Christian lives, is the more time we put into it, the healthier we will be. But people don't like the time commitment associated. They don't like the commitment associated. So people will shop, and they will find the church of their liking. They will find the fast food option of church. They will find the fast food option that is not healthy. Instead of going for a little bit more time, a little bit more commitment, to be a little bit more healthy. People love fast, and people love convenient, but it doesn't mean it's what's best for you. You can get the fast option. Yeah, you can get it. It's out there. And in religion, it's all out there. You can find it all. You can make your own. You can find a religion where it is low cost and low quality, but you can also find a religion out there that is fast and is convenient. Just drive by, drive through religion. Yeah, you can get that $5 pizza, but if you took that same money and you invested a little bit more time, my guess is you probably have something a little bit more healthy and substantial. And how do we do that as Christians? How do we not have the fast food style, but have more of the healthy style, the thing that's going to benefit us in the long term? And I think it really does come from studying God's Word. Sometimes people want the quick and easy version. They want a package nice, and they never want to hit anything controversial. That's what's nice when you go straight through the Bible, is eventually you're going to hit something controversial in society. You know, when you have those Bible studies where you've just gone through 1st and 2nd Timothy, you're going to run into something eventually that's not popular in society. But a lot of times what happens is we cherry pick the Bible. A lot of places are there places where they do the fast food option, they hit on the same topics every time, and they never hit on a controversial issue ever. Yeah, they're out there. They're out there. And we have to be careful. We have to make these considerations. When I read the Bible and it talks about Bible study, I can see that it's not talking about a fast food option. It's talking about more of a slow and developing and growth option, which is really healthier for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, when I read that and I start to contemplate it and I think about it, it sounds like it's going to take some work. It says a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is worker tied to there? It's tied to studying God's word. And you know what? That takes some time. When it talks about rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, when I divide things, a lot of times it takes some time. I work with different individuals, but we were doing a market for Ritchie County. We buy produce off local farmers, and we will take it to the schools, and the students can try, you know, some produce, because they don't always have those options, you know. So we have peppers, and, you know. Well, you know, it takes a while to divide that produce out. We set it out in the room, and the students actually get to choose what they want to try, and we go around the room. It takes some time to do some sorting. It takes some time to do dividing. And if you take some time to divide God's Word, to rightly divide it, it's going to take some time. It's not a fast food process. And many times we have to admit that when we become Christians, we don't have all the answers. It's even throughout our life, we have a lot of things that we have to work out. We have to study God's Word and see what He has to say about it. There's a lot of dividing throughout our life. A lot of topics will come up in our life that we never had to consider before, like cloning. Right? Oh, that's a topic. you know, what's the Christian view on cloning? Are we ashamed of it? Not ashamed. I mean, it takes some time to rightly get. There are things that come up in our lives that we had not considered before or thought about before, and we have to dig into God's Word once again. COVID is a great example. Once again, we had to look at God's Word. We had to think about it. We had to think about our neighbor. We had to think about everything that was going on. We had to think about what the Bible says, what the Bible teaches, trying to rightly divide. It takes some time. It takes some effort. In fact, when you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, I think we're in for a life of this. It says, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. We have to test everything in our lives. It's not a fast food option. And certainly, I think a lot of times we like those things that are convenient. We like those things that are cheap, fast, easy. You know, it's really nice that you know, you don't have to stand in front of the stove. You know, you can just run through a drive-thru really quick and get it. You know, commitment. You know, it takes a little commitment to a meal. And my wife, she'll do very elaborate meals sometimes. She's very talented, and she likes to cook stuff from all over the world. And some of her meals are elaborate. They've got many steps in preparation. Sometimes stuff has to cook overnight, and then she'll have to add stuff to it the next day. It takes commitment to get through these things. And a lot of people don't like the commitment associated. See, drive-thru doesn't have a whole lot of commitment. Thanksgiving meal, that's got some commitment to it. You know, you've got all these different dishes and all this cooking that's going on. It takes some commitment. It takes some time. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. There is some commitment. There is some time that has to go into these things. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. There's some commitment. But certainly when we look out in the religious world and we see all the options, we can see that some people are taking the fast food option. What place is closest to me? Now, there could be places that are close to you that could be preaching and teaching the truth, but sometimes that's not the case. You know, I want to go someplace that makes me feel good, that's quick and easy, and I don't have to spend a lot of time, and I don't want to be involved, I don't really want to be a deacon, don't want to help out with any of the events or anything like that. Just some commitment. Which is better, the fast food option or the slow option? And the slow option is typically more healthy for us and better. Just because we find something that meets our preference doesn't mean it's what's best for us. I love Texas Roadhouse Rolls. I love those. I love the butter. I love the rolls. But that's probably not what's best for me, right? Just because we find something that's our preference, like I like this, doesn't mean it's what's best for us in the long term. Sometimes the things that we have to be committed with, the things that we have to spend time with, are the areas that we have to focus on and make sure that we're doing it for the long term benefit. And God wants us to be focused on the long term. He wants us to be focused on growth. And that doesn't happen when we're doing some of these fast options and exchanging it for the things that he really wants. And Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, I think that's what's being addressed, is somehow, some way, they have avoided growing, they have avoided partaking of that more deep spiritual food. And Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, and that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. There's a growth process that has to happen, and if we're not partaking of good spiritual food, if we constantly get the fast food version, we never get deeper into the text, we never really get to divide the word of truth, and what happens is if we adopt this mentality, what happens is we'll send our kids and our grandkids out into the world, and they've got the fast food model all their life, and then whenever they get to college in these places, they're swept away easily. Because they've got the dialed-down version. They've got the fast-food version. Let's do a quick 5-minute devo. Let's not dig into the text, you know. That's why Bible class and those times that we have set aside are important, because you can really get into the text. You know, on Tuesday we've been studying Genesis, and I feel the same way, but the comments have been made on occasion is like, I've read over that. Like, I don't know how many times in my lifetime I didn't see that until today. You know, and maybe we did and we just forgot. Is there some time and some work and some dedication to reading and rightly dividing God's Word? I want healthy spiritual food. What's the sacrifice if I want healthy spiritual food? Time and commitment. So we've went over a couple things so far. When you go out to eat, one thing you consider is cost. Do I want high cost or low cost? Well, it's not as simple as that because you have to think about quality, right? We have to think about quality. If high cost is going to be high quality, I want high quality, so I immediately get the high cost. You know, if I want low quality, which most people don't look at it that way, they're like, low cost, that's what I want, but really what you're getting is low quality. When you think about the issue of time, I want something fast, what are you really getting? A not healthy option? I want something slow that requires more growth and commitment. What are you looking for? You're looking at something that's going to take you some more time. Some time and commitment. What's the third thing you consider when you ask this question a lot of times? You ask about cost. Well, how much is it going to cost? You ask about, health or how much time it's going to take. There's another question you ask many times are options, right? You're going to ask, what are the options? And sometimes your options are dictated to you by location. Because you're like, well, which comes back to cost. I don't really want to drive all the way to Parkersburg, so we just want to eat here, you know, something like that. But people consider their options. And I think the thing that we have to think about is what option is best when it comes to spiritual food. And you think of how many churches are out there, or how many restaurants are out there. There's plenty of restaurants or churches out there. Which one are you going to choose? Which one's going to be the best? Well, interestingly enough, I think that this question once again falls short in comparison, because when we look at what the Bible teaches that there's one place to get our spiritual food. The Bible, the Lord's Church. There's one place. God tries to make it really simple. But people fight over this point more than any other. The idea that there's all kinds of churches out there. The question is, why do people fight this idea so hard? I think the Bible clearly points out that there's one church. I think it's simple. It's basic. We can understand it. Why do people fight against it so hard? Because they like their options. If you admit that the Bible teaches that there's one place to get our spiritual food, that there's one place that Christians are added to that knocks out all the other options, the people certainly don't like that. Would you follow the Lord's recommendation? If the Lord said, get your spiritual food here, would you follow his recommendation or would you run somewhere else for a low-quality, unhealthy option? That's what many people are doing. They say, I want low-quality and unhealthy. That's not really the way they think about it, but that's what they many times do. The Bible, I think, gives us a recommendation when it comes to our establishment that we're going to choose, the Lord's Church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he says, I tell you that you're Peter. On this rock I'll build my church. My church, he's speaking, Jesus is speaking, it's his church. And I really want to point this out, that the church is always talked about in the singular. We'll talk about churches of Christ, but we're talking about the same thing. We understand the idea of Walmart. There's one Walmart, but there's a lot of locations all over the place. Same thing with the church. I mean, we can't all meet in Jerusalem. Okay? The church is located in many places, but it's all the same thing. There's one church. What church would Jesus recommend? What church would he recommend? Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says he purchased the church with his own blood. I think Jesus is going to recommend his church. It's bought and paid for. You know? Think if you bought and paid for a restaurant. Wouldn't that be the restaurant you'd recommend? The one I bought and paid for, I've got all my money invested in this place. I'm not going to recommend any other place because I'm so invested in this place. Jesus died. He purchased the church with his own blood. You think he's going to recommend any other establishment? He's going to recommend any other entity. And we understand that the church is spiritual in nature. He's not going to make any other recommendation but the church that he died for. The church that he is fully invested in. The people are like, I want my other option. Did the Lord give us any other options? Question, did the Lord ever recommend a denomination? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, would the Lord ever recommend a denomination? I don't think he would. He'll only recommend the church that he purchased with his own blood. And we can understand that if we're talking about a business. If we invested everything we had into a certain place, it would be the only place that we would recommend, probably. We'd be like, hey, come here, please. You know, I've got my whole livelihood in this place. And Jesus died and he purchased his church with his own blood. And the world tells us, no. Jesus doesn't really care. You can go wherever you want. But, wait, Jesus died to purchase the church. Attend the church of your choice? That's not what I see in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, when we have those individuals on the day of Pentecost, they're baptized, and it says they're added to the church. Question, did they give them a choice when they were baptized? Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches to them. They're baptized, they're added to the church. And as they were being baptized, they said, oh, what church would you like to be a part of today? What church would you like to be a part of today? No, they all understood that they were all going to be added to the one church, Christ's church, which he purchased with his own blood. See, this question is not fair. The reason this question is not fair is because when you ask that question, where do you want to get your spiritual food, or where do you want to go to church, if you really believe the Bible just points one place. The Bible is not going to give you a whole lot of options. And people don't like that because when you don't have options, what happens? It limits you, right? Dennis and I were talking about some things before service, and we were talking about, you know, during the Depression and times, you know, you didn't really have a big choice of what to eat. You know, you ate what was there. You know, you didn't have options. There were no options. You just ate what was on the table, and you didn't complain because that was it. That was all you had. When it comes to spiritual food, there's but one place to get quality, healthy spiritual food. There's no other option. So yet the world tries to pretend that there is. Oh, there's other places you can go. It's diluted, it's frozen, it's fast, it's unhealthy. But yet people many times will go that direction. There is but one church. And it's an idea that I think, unfortunately, has become extremely controversial, but yet I think it's one of the most foundational things that the Bible teaches. You think of Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, and I think most of our religious friends would agree with that. It says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And people say, yeah, I agree with that. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the one that we want to follow. But then when it comes to His church, it all falls apart. Why does it all fall apart? Because they want their option. They don't want to say that Jesus died for the church. We've got to be part of the church. They want to say, we want all these options. You know, I don't think any other idea could be so far away from what the Bible teaches. When we look in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it talks about the overseers, that they are the shepherds, the church of God. Shepherds, the church of God. That sounds singular to me. But yet, we all admit that there are thousands of institutions out there. Yet the Bible teaches there's one, but people are under the illusion that there's thousands. Now, Church of God, Church of Christ, sometimes people make a big deal about that. I don't think it's a big deal at all. In John chapter 17 and verse 10, Jesus is praying there. He says, what mine is thine, and what's thine is mine. What's God saying? What's being said there is whatever is Jesus is God, and whatever God is Jesus. So I have no issue with Church of God, Church of Christ. They're both the same. What's mine is thine, what's thine is mine. John chapter 17 and verse 10. But the idea of the singleness of the church is where people, I think the world has messed it up to a great degree. One of the most simple ideas of the Bible has been lost. The idea of one church. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, I think it's hard to come away with any other conclusion. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Who did Christ die for? He died for the church. And the church is compared to a spouse. Well, New Testament, how many spouses are we supposed to have? Matthew chapter 19 probably be a good place to turn. We see that we are supposed to be married to one. How many churches did Jesus die for? He died for one. So these people run around and say that Jesus has many brides. I mean, how could you say such a thing? It's like me going home to my wife tonight saying, hey, there's seven ladies outside. They all have different names. They haven't even changed their name, have they? No, they haven't changed their name. I'm not Sarah, these seven ladies outside, they're now my wife. Are they going to change their name? No, they're not going to change their name. You know, but they're my wife. That's what the religious world is. If they say, oh, we're all churches, we're all part of Christ, but yet we all have different names. Let's not be silly. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all, but one of the most basic ideas of the Bible has been corrupted to a point where the devil is winning every single day because people have bought into the idea that there are many churches, the idea that there are many brides. Christ has what? But one bride. So people say, oh, just look out the door. Look at all these other brides that Christ has. They all have different names. They're all doing different things. they're all saying different things, but yeah, they're all part of Christ. We also get the idea of one body. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, for husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. We also get that idea in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. It says, he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body. The church and the body are the same thing. Christ is the head of the body. How many bodies are out there? There's one body out there. Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 4, it says there's but one body. There's but one church. Christ is head of it. The religious world would have you believe that there's one head, Jesus Christ, and he's got all these bodies running around. The Bible teaches against this. It's a basic idea. And I remember I was having a Bible study with a young lady, and we stayed up past 12 o'clock, and she said, I have never heard this my entire life. The idea that there is one church. Change your life, change your perspective. Well, people say, well, what if there's a church out there, and they're teaching all the things of the Bible, and they're doing all the right Bible things, and they're not called a church of Christ? Or they're not called a church of God. I would tell you that that is extremely rare. Think of it in the restaurant world, for example. There's a restaurant out here. It's serving Wendy's burgers. It's serving Frosties. It's serving everything that Wendy serves, but it's not called Wendy's. You know what I call that? I call that a lawsuit. It's not going to be like that for long, you know? It's not going to be like that for long. If there is a group of people out there who are practicing everything that the Bible teaches, and they're doing everything a Bible way, eventually, they would be led to changing their name to a name that would be acceptable. I'd say it's very rare. I want you to think about some of these things that we've discussed and we've looked at today. What would Jesus recommend? See, when the Bible takes away your options, it puts you in a hard spot, doesn't it? Actually, I don't think it's a hard spot at all. It's the spot I want to be. Because you know what? I want quality food, I want healthy food, and I want to get it from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives you but one option. But the world, what they'll do is the world say, oh, no, you have a whole bunch of options. And what does the options do? The options let you get a low-quality, unhealthy option. It's not good for the religious world. It's not good for Jesus Christ. If Jesus built a restaurant, would you come? Would you come? He built a system where we can meet as brothers and sisters in Christ, the spiritual group, the church, where we can meet, we can study God's Word, we can consume God's Word. Would you come? If I want the best spiritual food, there's only one place I can go. If I want quality food for my family, it's going to cost me. If I want healthy food for my family, it's going to take some time. If I want what's best, there's only one that's the best, and that's the church of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. We would love to help you any way we can if you come as we stand and as we sing.